This meeting to order at 3:55.
Roll call.
Okay, roll call. Tucson Parks and Recreation Commission meeting, June 26, 2024. Chair Steve Pope.
I'm here.
Thank you. Vice Chair Becky Quintero.
Present.
Thank you. Commissioner Robin McArdo. She was supposed to join in person and she hasn't. I can't bring myself up. Commissioner Manon Getzi?
Here.
Thank you. We may proceed.
Thank you. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes that was sent out?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
I'm sorry, I wasn't here for that meeting, so.
Oh, can I second it?
I think so, yeah.
I'll second it. Okay. So all those that approve the minutes as submitted, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. do we have call to the audience?
We do not.
Okay. Oh, by the way, motion passes for the minutes. So we don't have call to the audience. So our next on the agenda is Tucson Parks and Rec Commission awards discussion.
Yeah, I put that on the agenda because it's that time to talk about the time frames. Last year, the program began on September 1st, and it ran for 2 weeks, and I think it was extended over that weekend for a few days. So I think it was the 17th. So we're here to talk about that, the timelines. If we want to go with the same, stick with the same timeline, and just to review, there was the categories were 7 individual, 1 team, and 1 nonprofit. So we had to discuss that. We're going to stay with the same categories.
So, Manon, do you have any thoughts on that?
Not at this time. I mean, it seemed to work pretty well last time.
And the time frame?
Whatever's going to work and be easiest for everyone at this point.
Steve, do you agree?
Yes.
So starting September 1st for 2 weeks, and then the 7 individuals, 1 team member, and what was the other one?
Same categories. It would be individual, team, and nonprofit.
And nonprofit. Okay, we're good with that. Like, this is an info action item, so do I have a motion?
So moved.
I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Roll call.
Chair Steve Pope.
I'm sorry. What was the question?
We're doing a roll call for the vote.
Oh, a roll call. I'm sorry. Aye.
Thank you, Commissioner Manon Getzi.
Aye.
And
aye, Chair. Yes. Well, that was easy. We're moving right along. Okay, so that one passed. So the fiscal year 25 program reports.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's me.
That's you.
Okay. In full disclosure, so Chairman Poe and I have been going back and forth and chatting through information. How does it come to the commission? How we can get information to you in advance, or where we can in advance, or just educate you at the same time that we're going to be educating mayor and council this year. So I think the best thing to do is kind of level set where the city is currently financially. The state changed the funding mechanism of the state tax revenue that the city receives to a flat tax. Last year, what was received by the city was somewhere around $18 million less than what the city was anticipating total. They've already received notice from the state that what was projected to receive sometime in the November timeframe is already $2 million less. So I don't know what the total number of reduction is, but you know, the city had a number in mind that they thought they were going to get from state revenue, and they've already informed the city that it's $2 million below that target. And Mr. Ortega had shared that with mayor and council sometime in May at a study session. So the perspective that the department has right now is we've got to start doing a really good job of educating mayor and council on our programs and what does it cost to deliver our programs and what does it cost to do them at this current level, because there's an anticipation that we could in January have to talk about a forecast of fiscal year 26 being tighter, and decisions or reviews are going to have to be made on where programs will be scaled back to fit a budget. Now, no one has a crystal ball. The best case scenario, the number comes in where the city wants it to come in, and nothing happens to our budget, and we can continue moving forward next July, status quo. But we're going to take some initiatives to start doing quarterly reports on what does it cost to deliver our programs, and what are those programs actually doing in terms of the people that they touch, or the, you know, what that service level impact is. What is, hi, Robin.
Hi.
I just saw you pop on. I'm like, let's make sure Diana gets you on your attendance.
Thank you. I thought today was, sorry, I apologize. Carry on.
That's okay.
I didn't think you had quorum today.
Ah. So basically, you all will start to see when we do a mayor and council report that is highlighting a particular program and what that program does and what that program is costing and how much money is allocated to it and how much is forecasted available for the rest of the fiscal year, then we're going to share that report out with you all as well. Of course, there's going to be conversations that are happening with mayor and council through the year. And I will commit to when there are discussions about potentially scaling back, adjusting service levels, that we'll let you know that that's being discussed. There will be probably times that I'm told not to publicly discuss something because it's being considered, right? But I want to make sure that you all are educated as we go through this journey. The staff can tell you that we're changing the way that we're also going to be discussing budget and monitoring budget with the start of the fiscal year so that we're all held accountable to doing our part. There's a variety of different areas that we've already tried to, like, be more efficient. The best case scenario is we don't have to actually implement anything reduction-wise. The worst case scenario is that we are asked to. But if that were to be asked, the intent is that everybody would be aware of what the impacts would be and the whys behind the impacts. And, that's pretty much a good summary. Some of the stuff that we're going to be doing, that we're starting out with right now, Sierra's helping me put together a really comprehensive guide on all of our pools and what does it take to operate pools. We've never really discussed this, how much goes into it, the decisions behind how we program and schedule. And we're hoping by tomorrow, or tomorrow is Thursday, tomorrow or Friday at the latest, to launch the first ever aquatic usage program survey to really better understand how people use their pools, our pools, what their values are, what are times that they really want, you know, what pools are more popular to them. And so we'll be launching out a survey that will have also on site at every pool location, a QR code, as well as using all of our email distribution methods to get as much feedback into that. So that'll be the first report that you all will see, targeting in August to deliver that. So by the August meeting at the end of the month, we would have that to discuss at this meeting. Any questions?
Melinda, do you have any questions?
I do, actually. This report, how are you getting this out and how can we help get this report out? I mean, not the report, but
the survey. So we'll make sure to give you all a copy of the link. Like there's language that I'm going to be drafting for each of the ward offices. A lot of the ward offices have their own newsletters. So we're going to, you know, we're basically going to try and amplify whatever group or contact has an audience to help us really broadcast this out. We'll do the same with you all. And then the target is about a 2 to 3 week period of time that it's open. So that, I mean, this is obviously the busiest time of the year for the pool. So the attendance at each of the pool will help us. We're hoping get the staff on site to encourage people to participate. And then see what information we gather. It's the first year we've ever done it. I'm of the mindset that next year when we do it again, it'll probably get tweaked, but we have to start somewhere. Sierra has also been working with our equity office and making sure that the information that we're requesting is meeting what has been determined to be the best way to gather demographic information that's sensitive around vulnerable communities. So a lot of work has gone into it so far.
Robin, did you have any questions?
No, I sure don't.
Steve, did you have a question?
No, not at this moment. Thank you.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I don't. I think you pretty much explained it.
Okay.
Thank you. It's sad. The Prop 407 monies aren't going to be affected.
No. And that's a good question. Anything that's bond related, voter approved, is not impacted. This is about general funded services. Mm-hmm. We still have some ARPA money that is in circulation, which has a timeline up until the end of next year. So we're looking at how we spend that and, where do we have the ability to insert some of that? A lot of that is going to probably impact more like, if you remember, you talked to Chris about water fountain replacements. Mm-hmm. So we're going to switch a lot of his water fountain replacement costs to ARPA dollars that was dedicated specifically for that purpose, which then alleviates some of the demand on the general fund. So those are a lot of the ongoing conversations and where do we have the opportunity to also apply for grant dollars. Housing recently told me that with the cooling centers, there might be a wave with the cooling centers since we're doing overtime for them to use some grant dollars to help cover cost. So I think what's great is there's a lot of good conversation going on about where do we supplant money to give us a little bit more cushion for actual programs that don't have alternative sources. But 407, anything in DTM, all that is still going to go forward. It can't, you know, we made a commitment to the public. We don't have an option to not follow through. So everything along those lines will continue.
So the increase of funds that we just passed, well, that was just approved, will help?
With regards to?
The general fund of the money.
So the Parks and Rec. They had a small amount of money that they could attribute to Parks and Rec. That got dispersed through a couple different areas. One of the biggest rise of increase of expenses for us has been pool chemicals. Also, the aquatic division largely wasn't properly funded historically. So uniforms, training and development, so they got a little bit of money there. And then any time that we have a new procurement contract renewal that is going to be anticipated to have a cost increase, they try to build that in. Right now, one of the areas we're struggling with is the cost of custodial services and the external security services that we have to engage at certain parks. Those costs for those contracts keeps going up, and those are not services that we can necessarily abandon. So were really mindful, and we were very mindful about what we asked for this coming fiscal year for additional money on. I would anticipate that next year there's not going to be a lot of room for us to ask for new things. So I've challenged staff to wherever we can potentially save or trim. Like, John's done a really good job. So John is the superintendent of parks, and he's not here because he's on vacation. But he's been actually looking at realigning a lot of their budgets to give us a little bit more capacity for emergencies because they come up. Like right now with all the monsoons, we've had a lot of tree issues, branch issues. And when that happens, generally the trees are of a size that it's beyond the capability of our staff to break them down. So then we have to engage the vendor. That's costs we weren't planning on, right? So he's been doing a really good job of identifying some money for us to hold on to for those situations. And we'll just continue to be in that mindset through the entire year.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No problem.
Next, reports and announcements, Parks and Rec commissioners. Any comments? Mr. Steve Poe, go ahead.
I have one question, and I'm not sure whether anybody is there that can answer this, but on the capital plan, I noticed that Catalina Park restroom, and I think it's a restoration or a rebuilding or something, is listed, the status is listed as historical review. I haven't seen that before, or I've missed it before. What does that mean?
I'll do the best to answer since both Greg and Jasmine are at a conference, and so they're not in attendance. Basically, there are certain locations where there's historical significance attached to the park or the amenity. When that happens, it has to navigate through a historical review process before we're able to proceed with any work that is scheduled to be done. And depending on the results of that review can determine the extent of work that we can do. So, for example, something that is deemed significantly historically significant. I forgot the terminology. It's like historically significant. You could probably have a much tighter list of things that you can actually do when you touch the facility. Whereas something that is deemed to be lower, you might have a little bit more flexibility to modify it more aggressively. So what that means is that particular bathroom is navigating through that process. And before we can actually commence with the work, we have to get their determination.
Wow. I find it incredible that a bathroom would right. have historical significance, but
okay. I mean, I don't know how old the bathroom is. It could be that the park itself has historical significance. So to give you
give you
a better frame of reference, Fort Lowell.
Right.
Anything that happens at Fort Lowell, right. even like when we put in the new splash pad, had to go through a historical review because if there's archaeological impacts in the ground, et cetera, then you know, there's impacts related to that. So yeah, it's interesting.
That makes sense. Would you please, when Greg gets back, ask him what historical significance the Catalina Park has? I just don't, I'm just not clear.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Manon, did you have anything to say?
Yeah, I do. I was just curious. I sent a letter in May about an experience I had in Reed Park about nearly being hit by a baseball in the head that had popped up over a youth field on the northwest side. There were large adult men playing in that youth field. If I hadn't stopped to look at a bird, that ball would have hit the tree and hit me because it was directly in my trajectory walkway. Missed me by a couple of seconds. And I sent a letter, and I didn't hear anything from anyone. This is that small field up on the northwest side. It has much lower fences, and these were adult men practicing in it. And I'm just wondering how often adult men are going to practice in that, who can pop a ball backwards over a fence, possibly onto a person. person.
That's field five, right, Donnie?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how frequently that space is used. And Manon, I thought I had responded to you regarding that, but I don't know how frequently that is used. And is it designated a youth field?
It's not designated a youth field. And right now, MSLB, which is the men's baseball league, has it rented. And their league runs 16 weeks. 14 weeks.
I think this session, this session is 16 weeks, I think.
Yeah, so they use it at least 6 to 8 months out of the year. And it really depends on how many teams they get registered, because they're trying to make sure they have so many teams or so many games per reservation. And then sometimes the minor league team, the Saguaros, uses it as well.
It's just daytime because there's no lights, right?
Right, but it's only during the day, yeah, because there is no lights on that field.
Yeah. But what we can do is tell you what we could commit to following up with you on is what the current fence height is and what the regulation for that type of play requires.
That would be good, because it is different than the other fields. You know, it does have shorter fences, and he didn't have any trouble popping that right over, and he hit it really hard. It slammed into a tree and then hit the ground really hard. And if a small child had been there, an adult, doesn't matter, it would have caused brain damage. It could have killed them. And I find that really unacceptable. And no one got back to me. And I also found that very disturbing. So this is, you know, the city has enough problems. It doesn't need class action lawsuits, and we certainly don't need to be hurting people. I know we need money. I know we need to use these spaces, but we need to be safe. Thank you.
Thank you. Robin, do you have anything?
Thank you, Becky. I appreciate it. I just want to, get my video camera on here. How are y'all doing?
We're fine. How are you?
Good. I stopped by to see the pickleball program at Donna Liggins. I'd like to give them a pat on the back. They're running a great program. It runs so smooth, and one of the few things we can do indoors and stay cool this summer. Also, Rio Vista Natural Resource Park. I understand that there was a pretty close call with an equestrian and a bird watching group, something that we were concerned about with the trails when this all started. I don't know if you have any report on that or any understanding or are aware of that.
I mean, Robin, if one, I wasn't aware of it. Personally, I wasn't aware of it. But two, if it's something that you want to discuss, it has to be added to the agenda.
Right.
I'm writing it down to find out more details.
All right, thanks. That's it. I'm sorry I missed some of the update with the budget. How do we access the recordings of these meetings?
The city clerk's office posts the recordings. Okay. And then I can always send you a copy of the link as well.
Thank you,
Diana. Yeah, you're welcome.
So I just have that July 20th, having a back-to-school event at Menlo Head at a junior park from 10 to 12. Hopefully the firemen will be there to whip the kids, and we'll make some hot dogs, and the Parks and Rec band will be there to help entertain the kids with their activity bands. So if you guys want to come get wet, that's all I have for now.
Steph? Go ahead, Aaron, and then Dean, you can go, and I'll go for TJ.
Reporting on May, is that what I'm doing highlights? So May, we wrapped up with our end of school year Kidco. We had a lot of Mother's Day events and Cinco de Mayo fiestas. One of the big highlights was a do-over prom. Mm-hmm. And that was held at Donald Reagan Center. And so that was for 50 years and older. We had a lot of our senior program groups take field trips over to Donald Reagan's and participate in that. So that was a good hit. We also had a big open house at Clements Center where they brought in quite a few membership sales. And it was one of our biggest turnouts as far as membership sales. It was $14,000 collected that night because we were offering 50% off of Universal Passes. So that was a pretty good highlight. Let's see what else we have. And then everybody was getting ready for summer. So a lot of summer planning for June, which we're coming to the end now, but we got off to a good start with a lot of orientations and training for our non-permanent staff.
Thank you.
Ditto.
Ditto?
Just kidding. I will also say that the May was the end of the KidCo program, so we were securing the end of all of that. At the same time, we were ramping right up for summer, so lots and lots of trainings, lots and lots of orientations, lots and lots of hiring. So it was just end of school year KidCo, start of summer KidCo. So let's just call it KidCo all the way around. Nonstop, go, go, go. The do-over prom I thought it was a very nice little event that we got a chance to see. Special events unit put that on. Pretty much everything we've been doing since then has been KidCo. Did I mention that before? Yeah, KidCo. Pretty much KidCo all the way around. It's KidCo, KidCo, and KidCo. Everything else, you know, the leisure classes, they're going as normal. We are in the process of still hiring some instructors so that we can offer all the classes that we want. So leisure classes are going fine. We're getting ready, working towards our fall classes. But it was just one big giant cycle from school KidCo to summer KidCo, from spring classes to summer classes, from outdoor stuff to indoor stuff, because it's really hot here in the summertime. So I guess we do a lot of indoor things.
When is the summer explosion?
July.
The 12th.
12th, 13th, 14th, something like that. It's a Friday. Stand by.
It's July 12th.
Is it 12th? Is that a Friday?
So at the end-ish of KidCo, we do the summer explosion. So we'll make sure to send you that information in case you want to attend. Though I doubt, Steve, that you're going to come down from your cooler environment.
We're having it at Kennedy. It'd be great to have you.
All outdoors.
A wonderful experience outside. You got all these mountains that I never saw before that I can see now. So it's kind of nice. I invite you to come down. We'll at least have a recording, I'm sure.
And so one of the reasons why we do it on July 12th instead of the very, very end is the Vail School District goes back to school that following Monday because of their year-round schedule. Dean forgot to mention we are also doing junior staff and training. That program also filled up, and they're also a summer program that we offered, and then sports, all the Little League fields or the Little Leaguers are done and doing All-Stars right now at this point. So our fields are getting a little bit of a rest.
Yeah.
That's kind of a joke. But
joke.
Yeah. Anyway, TJ's not here because he's actually meeting with his pool specialist. He does that every Wednesday throughout the entire summer. But he wanted me to give you this update of, so currently we have 313 guards, SSIs, and specialists. We started the summer with 320, so 7 downs, not too bad, considering we're 2-3 weeks in. We'll take it. The first two sessions of swim lessons, it looks like 1,175 kiddos have gone through, learned to swim. So that's swim school, stroke school, and then Star Babies, and it's kind of a graduation of Star Babies. It's pretty self-explanatory. You're a baby, and we think you're a star. And then stroke school is a little bit, you know, more development, stroke development. And then swim school is more of we're preparing you for the swim team, or you're also on the swim teams. Our swim team attendance has increased this year by 50%. So we have 218 kids signed up for swim team. And then our synchro also increased. Last year we had 10 girls, and this year we have 31 boys and girls in our synchro class or group. And they'll be doing a water show at the end of July, so I'll be sure to send that to you as well. Last year we did it at like 10 in the morning. Mm. This year we're doing it at 6 o'clock because last year we melted. So this year it's a little bit more in the evening. In the month of May, we had 17,220 guests visit our pools. So they're a little busy. And then the crew is helping out with a neighborhood event at Menlo Pool for the ward office this coming Friday. They had one last month at Mansfield. And then they also are collaborating for a drowning prevention event with TFD on July 25th. More information forthcoming. And then we also host Tucson Fire. They do training, swift water rescue training in our pools. I mean, there's nothing swift about the water, but they, you know, use the ropes and they do all of those kind of things. And so it's pretty cool to know that they're training in our pools and then they had to utilize that, you know, just a couple of weeks ago. So it's kind of crazy. And then we're just waiting on the splash pads at J.O. Fort Lowell and Jesse or Freedom to open up here soon. So that's the report.
Thank you.
I don't have much. The Tim Tom Muir is gonna starting July 1st will be our official new city manager. Mike Ortega is technically still on the books for just a few more days. Also, the HR director had left the city, so they have recently appointed an interim HR director to just keep things going before they do a national recruitment. There was a launching of a whole new recruitment hiring module back in March, which still needs some tweaking. So they've brought Terry in to help us with that while we look for a new HR director. I think that's it. It's really, it's been a little quiet, knock on wood, it stays that way. But right now, like I said, I know. I put mouth on him. But really, like the staff said, summer has been really focused on trying to deliver to all the audiences that right now really just want to be cool in whatever capacity that is, indoor, outdoor. And so the team is working hard. So
I appreciate it. There's like a lot of hot people out there.
Yeah.
Wealthy people. Moving right along. Commission future agenda items and next meeting date. So we have July 24th is our next meeting. And I think Robin had a future agenda item she wanted to add.
Yeah, Becky, if we could just add an update on the Rio Vista master plan. And anything with the process.
And the incident?
The incident for sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Poe, did you have anything?
I do not.
Okay, good. Thank you. Manan, did you have anything?
Not beyond just finding out regulation on the baseball.
On the fence.
On the baseball.
Yeah.
Okay. I had a question about the Mission Manor. People are asking about the survey that went out, what the results were. Not Mission Manor. El Pueblo. The El Pueblo survey that went out what the results were.
Sure.
Because I had people go to the website and put in their input. Now they want to know what the outcome was.
Sure, we can definitely.
I'll update the website to link to the results. I'll do that right now.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Was that Sierra?
I'm a,
it's a voice from heaven.
Marketing heaven just told us the fairy is going to, it's now on the website for you, but we'll also make sure to send you that link.
Thank you.
So once you get access to that survey, do you still want us to discuss it at next meeting, or?
We can put it out there. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, mm-hmm. it's done. And so it's okay to put out there. It's not secret yet.
No.
Okay. It's out there.
That's the purpose of her putting it on the website, is anybody could review it.
Okay.
My question was, do you still want it to be a topic?
Okay. If we can just put it out there and have people see it. So it looks like we can have a motion to adjourn, perhaps. Mr. Stiefel. Have a second.
I second.
Hey, roll call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Stipo,
do you approve?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Commissioner Manon Gutsy?
Yes.
Thank you. Commissioner Robin McArdle?
Yes. Thank you.
And yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Motion to adjourn is complete.
Yeah. And apologize again for all the technical difficulties. Hopefully we're professionals for next meeting.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank
Have
you
a good
all.
Day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Becky.
Thank you.
Thanks, Becky.
Thank you.